From the PSIA ASI Satellite Studios in Hood River, Oregon, I'm George Thomas. You're listening to, I cannot believe it, episode 700 of First Chair. What a cool milestone, and what a great guest we have for you. If he ain't late, he's early. Pete Cray is joining us, who, if he's not sliding on snow, he's sliding ink over paper. So, Pete, wow, I've been wanting to talk to you for 7 years.
Me too, George. I love the podcast, and I love talking to you anytime at all, and so this is a real treat for me, too.
I mean, we're having a conversation and finally recording it.
Right. Well, I always wondered if you're recording the other ones as well.
Well, I do. We're going to put those together for, you know, some special occasion, but that's okay. The blooper reel from the audiobooks is going to be the, yeah. Well, Pete, you're checking in from National Academy. How many academies is this for you?
That's a great question. I'm not sure. You know, I remember some of the tryouts that Mark Dorsey, who was the CEO at the time, he would invite me to team selection, and he always billed it as Survivor on Snow. And those started at Snowbird, and I think over my lifetime of, you know, ski industry confabs and ski tests and national academies, I've probably spent a year of my life in the Cliff Lodge. But this is like five or six just at Big Sky alone, and to be able to, you know, come to these amazing venues and ski with people like Robin Barnes, Michael Rogan, you know, I'd start going down the list, but I'd forget somebody. And then to see, you know, there's so many great people who just show up for this every year. This is the high point of their calendar. And one of the things that to me is the coolest about this is to finish your year skiing or snowboarding at your best all season. What a thrill that is. What a great way to close the season.
And Pete, I mean, you have a dream life. You're an amazing writer, and I am not just buttering you up. You are incredibly skilled. You have a couple of books out. You do so much work on the PSIA ASI website, the magazine. You get to write about what you love to do, and you do that year round.
Yeah, it's pretty special. And it's really my way to contribute to the industry and to the sport. And my wife sometimes asks me, how do you write about skiing every day? And I write about it because all these people have such great stories to share. And you know that as well as anybody. That you and I call someone up and we're going to hear something we never heard before that's going to be very hard for us to forget. But the other thing is I have in my library, I have surf books and I have climbing books, and I don't do either of those things, but I find the writing fascinating. And I wish and I think there should be more ski books. And I've said that for long enough that I'm actually seeing more ski books. I'm not taking credit for them being out there, but I see more skiers taking time to write really interesting books. And that makes me very happy.
Now, I think of someone who loves to slide on snow. You telly, you alpine, you snowboard. You love to write. I mean, you sound so enthusiastic when you're talking about writing, but you also love to read.
Yes. You know, my father, I wonder about this. I'm sure you would know that there might be studies that what you're exposed to at an early age, like if some parent puts Jimi Hendrix on in their kid's crib, does that kid grow up to be an amazing guitar player? My father read to us all the time, and he would read us Jack London. He would read us Shakespeare. And I don't remember so many of the details, but I remember the sound of his voice sharing these stories. And so I think I never really wanted to do anything but ski and write. I think my father was a self-made guy. He was the first person in his family to go to college. And he and his buddies were all volunteer ski patrollers at Vail growing up, which is how we afforded to be in the sport, because Vail at the time would give all the entire families ski passes. And my brother and I joke that we never once in our lives remember being asked, what do you want to do this weekend in the winter? It was never a question. Your butt was in the back of that car heading up I-70 to Panama.
And now you are a regular at Santa Fe, beautiful town. Yes. What's that ski area like? It seems that's such a pretty area of the country.
I'm kind of torn talking about it because I used to feel like I was from the Chamber of Commerce and that I would bill the fact that Santa Fe is, I think, it's the fifth, if not the fourth highest base elevation in North America. So the base chair is 10,350.
Wow.
And we've got almost 1,800 vertical feet. And, you know, I ended up in Santa Fe because my wife got transferred down there to work at the Los Alamos National Laboratory. And I had just started getting stories published by Powder and Ski Magazine. And I went down there, and I thought I was going to be driving to Taos every weekend. And this was pre-internet enough that everything I saw in the library was about Santa Fe was, you know, really about the history and the indigenous people. And there's nothing, I didn't find anything that said there are mountains here. I thought it was moving to a desert. And we moved there, and I'm looking up, and I'll tell you the story about the Smokey Bear house that we lived in, because it really was the house where Smokey Bear first lived after the El Capitan fire. I'm looking up at all the snow on the mountain, and I had my touring set up, and I said to my neighbor, who, you know, lifelong Santa Fe resident, I said, you know, I'm going to hike up there to ski that stuff. He said, well, you could ride the lift. I said, there's lifts. So it's been my home mountain ever since. It's a super friendly place. We did, there are enough people who, especially during the pandemic, who work remote, who had their choice of wherever they wanted to move to. And Santa Fe was always in the consideration. And then these are people I've met on the lifts over the last couple of years. The ski area closed the deal for them. That was the final. It's like, oh, and I can ski there. So it's certainly, you know, like any place that we go ski, it's become a lot more popular. But it still has this wonderful local vibe that it'll never lose. And, you know, you go up there on the weekday and it's your place.
Now, you recently took a series of lessons there. You took a clinic, a multi-week clinic. And yes. You, as a former instructor, lifelong slider on snow, I'd really like to find out what that was like for you to be kind of on the opposite end of a clinic like that. I do have to start out by prefacing it has the least diverse name of a clinic I've heard about, the men's clinic.
Yes. Right. In a town like Santa Fe, you thought, you know, maybe there's something more flowery to
yes.
come up with.
But well, so, we'll stick with that and tell us about it, Pete. What was it like?
Well, I got to go back because, you know, as much time as I get to spend with the national team and just as impressed as I always am, I also have a little bit of in the back of my mind, if I'm skiing under the chair, and there's a couple team members on the chair above me. In the back of my mind, I'm like, I wonder what they'd fix. Because, you know, these are experts in movement analysis. And I had not, and there were a couple times, you and I took a lesson together at Steamboat.
Yep.
And I felt like I had a really good breakthrough from that lesson. But then I got on a plane to go back home, and I didn't have the time to take what I just learned and practice it. And that's always been frustrating to me, that if I hear something, I'm one of those people just has to learn by doing. And so I felt, I'd always felt like, man, I need to do this. And so the lessons were from 9 to noon every Wednesday for 6 weeks. And I realized that I would have that afternoon off to go practice everything and you know, get that muscle memory, if you will. And it's something I want to keep doing forever. And you and I also know that if we walk up to anybody on the national team and probably probably anybody at any snow sports school that is level two, level three, whatever. If you and I walk up to that person and ask them what they're working on, they won't wait a second before they tell you. They will be very clear that, oh, well, I'm trying to improve this, or I'm working on that. And so the lifelong learners that you and I get to work with, I just wanted to embrace that more myself too.
And what was it that sold you about this particular clinic? I mean, that's an investment in money and time. And you said you really wanted to get something out of it. And what was it about this one?
Well, I got to tell you, the time and to be able to tell lovely wife and friends and family, I'm sorry, I'm skiing on Wednesday. That was no problem. Also, I don't know how other places price what they're doing, but the time of year where the clinic takes place, and because I'm a pass holder, I only paid $300
for 6 weeks. Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know, you know, I don't know how different places price things, but I saw that rate and I did a double take. And it just, it felt, I think that if you're not working on snow every day, like so much of our membership is, it's kind of easy to forget to set aside the time to get on the hill. And I didn't want to get to the end of the season and say, man, I should have driven up there more. So that was kind of a nice excuse to say to myself, Don't forget to ride as much as you can.
So tell us about the experience.
It changed my season.
Wow. Nice.
You know, I'm one of those guys who I think that every one of us, I'm just speaking about skiing right now, but every one of us is trying to figure out how to get to that new edge faster. And what's the cleanest way to get to that next turn? Is it a downweight? Is it an upweight? And certainly when I was teaching, it was the straight ski days. So it was more one-to-one turn. It wasn't you're much more skiing on two skis at the same time now. And so I go down a hill and I'm like, well, how soon do I stand on that outside edge and start to steer it? And what my teacher, if I'm remembering his name correctly, Nathaniel James, he was more about also dipping that downhill knee. And in a sense, really clearing the way for that new turn. But getting on that downhill edge, because I'm leaning on my right downhill edge right now as we're talking, as it were, just on my foot. But also standing on that uphill edge at the same time. And I've taken that everywhere from, you know, the bumps to the steeps and especially the groomed. And it feels like the velvet touch. It really does. That was fantastic. And to be able to take that into different terrain. And then I had a good buddy of mine who's my best ski friend down there. And he, the only lesson he ever took was when his first lesson to learn to ski. And he's a fantastic hockey player, and he's gotten better and better just by putting the miles in every season. But he felt the same thing. And by the end of the clinic, you know, as I told him, his name's Tally. As I told him, I said, man, you're skiing lights out. I've never seen him ski better either.
So what you did actually prepared you really well to go to Big Sky and ski with some great people up at National Academy.
Yes. I'm not saying that I'm not saying there's still some stuff they shouldn't fix. But you know, I'm going to go off on a tangent here for a second, George. You know, and you and I had this conversation before, but I'd love, just because I have the opportunity to talk to you. You know, I don't play golf, but every now and then, if I'm on my rowing machine on the weekend, or you know, just relaxing for lunch, I'll turn it on, and you hear all the announcers and all the players talking about how much better a swing they could have. And I love football, and anybody who's watching football, everybody's talking about how the quarterback can do this better. Everybody's talking about how baseball players can improve. And I just wonder why that sense of self-improvement isn't more paramount to more of the skiing and snowboarding community, because everybody will enjoy it more. And I'm enjoying skiing this season in a way that I just haven't. I love it all the time, but having something very specific to think about and work on has made a huge difference just in this year alone. I'm going to remember this year for a long time just because of that. And I'm going to keep taking the clinic every year.
I can just hear the enthusiasm and the happiness in your voice. I love it, Pete. I'm glad you're having such a great season. Seriously.
Yeah, I am too.
Anything that's standing out to you about this academy? There's a tryout coming up next week. What are some things that you're noticing as we kind of come to wrapping up here?
That it's going to be sporty. I saw two of our favorite mad scientists, Michael Rogan and Mike Porter, 2 days ago, kind of scouting some of the slopes where they're going to be testing the Alpine guys. And I think that I got here 4 days ago, and I guess there was a very timely snowfall here. And there were new powder opportunities. I think I'm correct in stating that this is the first tryout that's ever happened at Big Sky. You know, there have been several tryouts, team selections at Mammoth. Not one at Mammoth that I know of, but mostly Snowbird, Snowbird Forever, and several at Breckenridge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty certain this is the first and only tryout here. And so I think that it's going to be as intense as ever. I think there's a record number of folks. I believe there's 60 plus people trying out for the Alpine team alone.
And 60 plus.
60 plus. Ooh. And we did a story on the snowpros.org where we just listed everybody who's trying out. And I think that for everybody who's made it this far, kudos. You know, you earned the right to be here. And I know they're all going to give it their all, and I hope those who don't make it know that they're still a resource to you and me and to the entire association. And to those who do make it, man, you really took it to the next level.
Well, Pete, I certainly hope that you and I can chat again before episode 1400.
George, Yeah, you know how much I like talking to you, and you know how much everybody appreciates what you do, and just basically giving literally a voice to this association. So thanks for taking the time to talk to me, buddy.
I really appreciate you doing this, Pete, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your time at National Academy, and I'd really like to check in with you again following tryouts.
Let's do that.
All right, Pete Cray joining us on First Chair from the PSIA ASI Satellite Studios in Hood River, Oregon. I'm George Thomas.